before me here. Then, if I search my own spiritual being, I will be able to discern something about you that isn't apparent. Hallelujah. So then, we are souls, and you cannot see a soul. We have a body, which is the expression of the soul. And we have a spirit. Now, the spirit was given to us by God to pull us upward to heaven. And the soul has a body that keeps contact with the earth. If this brother sitting before me could not see, if he could not hear, if he could not feel, if he could not smell, he would have no contact with this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So then the body makes us world conscious. The soul makes us self-conscious. My feelings, my desires, my likes, my dislikes, and the spirit makes us God conscious. Hallelujah. I pray and look forward to the day when we will be as much God conscious as we are world conscious. For as we sit here tonight, we see these lights. You count the lights. You can see that the building is lighted. You see the red carpet. You see the piano. You see the people. You see the pews. And you are conscious. Not only just see them and don't think anything of them, but you are conscious. Each one is affecting you in a certain way. The light is shining on the books, and you can look at the books. You can read your book because your light is shining on your book. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Then you, God is sitting down beside you. Amen. Jesus Christ is sitting down with you. You know why? He said, "Lo, I am what? With you. Always, even unto the end of the age." So I know that Jesus Christ is in this building. Amen. And that Jesus Christ is in this building in a different way from the way we are expecting him to come. But then, Jesus is in this building. We are saying that Jesus is coming again. And at the same time, we are walking around and saying we have Jesus in us. Now, come on, brethren. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? I'll tell you. Because I know you know. He's in three places at the same time. He's with us, he's in us, and he's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, if I hurt this brother, I hurt Jesus. For Jesus is in him, feeling for him, and feeling with him. He says he's touched with our infirmities. Hallelujah. He feels with you. So if I hurt the brother, I hurt Jesus. He says, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. Let me tell you, brethren, the word of God is dimensional. The word of God has many dimensions, different planes. A person comes to you and he's speaking to you about heaven. Find out what plane he's speaking on. Amen. If he comes to you speaking to you about earth, find out what plane he's speaking on. For he might be saying one thing and you see another thing. And so tonight, I want to show you a very well-known scripture, John chapter 3. Very, very well-known scripture. A scripture that all of us mostly know it by heart. And I think that when somebody spoke to us about Jesus, it must have been the very first scripture that we heard about the salvation of our souls. And you look in verse 3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, here we come to a word that we must have a dimensional understanding of. We're going to have a dimensional understanding here. Because the Bible said here, except you are born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Tonight I want to speak to you about the spirit birth. The spirit birth. And I want to ask you if you think it is possible that a person can be born again and not born of the Spirit. Can a person be born again and yet not be a spirit child? All right. Because I know it would seem at the outset that it is impossible. But I'm going to show you a thing here tonight where many brethren, many Christians are walking in the shadow of their Christianity. Hallelujah. If you look at John chapter 1, another well-known verse, verse 12, John 1, verse 12. To many as received him, what did he do? He gave them power to become the sons of God. So it would seem here that the scripture is saying that when you receive Jesus, when you get saved by the blood of Jesus, that you only have the power to become a son. Come on now, brethren. I don't want you to stray from me so early. When you get saved, you accept the blood of Jesus Christ, what really happens to you? First of all, you can find very easily what happened to you by realizing what you were before you got this blood. One thing you were dead. You were stone dead. Hallelujah. You said, and Brother Dusil, wasn't I spirit, soul, and body? You were a dead soul. Therefore, the spirit had no contact with the dead soul. And you were a body walking around with a dead soul. That's what you were. So you were wide open to be led and influenced by any spirit that comes across. Because the life of God was not in your soul. Hallelujah. Messiah. Now, Jesus said, before I can talk to this man, before I can deal with this woman, what would he have to do? He would have to bring the soul alive. Or else he cannot talk to a dead soul. He cannot reason with a dead soul. Amen. So, he discern life. Come now. What is the blood of Jesus Christ? Life. I want everybody to say life. Life. Hallelujah. Because our world was without life. Our world was dead and being ruled by the devil. Lucifer, Satan, and all his hosts were sucking all the life out of our world. Let me tell you something. You remember I started by saying all living things feed? All things must feed. The devil cannot get life from God. Where he gets his life? From you. We unwittingly give life to the devil. Did you know that? When you give way to a lie, when you give way to evil thoughts, who you think you are giving strength? You are strengthening the devil. As a matter of fact, I understand that the devil would prefer to catch one Christian to any 10 sinners. The devil would prefer to catch one Christian to any 10 sinners. Why? Because the Christians give him more life than the sinner. He took away the power from our father Adam, and from then onward he began to suck life from this realm. This is the reason why when man cast the devil out, this is it. It's finished. The first man that comes forth in the nature of God, he's going to speak a word and bind that devil and finish him and deliver all humanity. Amen. And this is what Jesus, this is what the Father of God, this is what the angels of heaven, this is what the animals in the field, this is what the nature is waiting for. The trees, the birds, the flowers, waiting for you to come forth in the name of Jesus. Aha! And to break the bands and to loose mankind. Hallelujah! Glory to God. When men talk about church, it pains me. You know, when I hear the people in the street talking about my church, it just pained me. Amen. Amen. For if we were anything near what we ought to be, we would be on our way to break the power of hell and set humanity free. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When we pray, think about these things. When we meditate, these are the things we must think about. The brethren said, Jesus, tell me how to pray. Jesus said, say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What am I talking about? Hear my hypocritical prayer now. Oh Lord, please Father, just take that earth out there and make it like your heaven up there. Amen. That's a hypocritical prayer. Unless I come to another dimension of that prayer, that prayer would turn me into a hypocrite. You know why? Because if I want God to take those sinners out there and to turn them into righteous people, what about me? I would have to first say, God, take this. Take this piece of earth and make it your heaven. Just as it is in heaven, Lord, let it be in this body. Amen. Dwell in it. God said, after such days, I will walk in them and I will talk in them. Yes, you are God's heaven. In one dimension, you are mentioned in the scripture as God's heaven. Did you know that? In Revelation chapter 12, he said, Michael cast the devil out of heaven. We know that happened long ago in the first heaven, but there's still a heaven that is corrupt, and this heaven is your soul, God's dwelling place. Glory to God on the high. What is heaven? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. You are the dwelling place of God. Amen. You are that house of God. You are that habitation of the Almighty. You are the reason why Solomon built a temple. You are the reason why Moses built a tabernacle. You are the tabernacle. You have within you, hallelujah, the gospel of Jesus Christ written in letters. Here you have the fivefold ministry ministering to the whole body. Amen. Here you have 2 feet walking, the Spirit and the Word by which we stand. And every figment of your body and every operation of your body is the operation of the body of Christ Jesus. It is a ministry to understand your own physical body. This is the reason why God will never excuse the men who say they never heard about the body of Christ. You know why? Because their own bodies, are the greatest testimony of the body of Christ. Yes, sir. God said a fool had said in his heart, there is no God. He must be pretty fool to say there is no God. Because right here is the handiwork of Almighty God. Within his own being. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We go on. We see then that in John chapter 1 and in verse 12, we are being given an authority. In the Greek it is exousia, authority to become sons of God. Then when I ask you, so now are you going to exercise your authority? Have you exercised your authority to become a son of God? Ask me the question. Brother Dussel, then, who is a son of God? I turn you to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Amen. Romans 8, 14. And here again we see that as many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Hi. Now you're in trouble. If you get up in the morning and say, I'm my own man, I'm going to do my thing, and you step off and do your thing for the day, that proves that you are not the son of God. For the son of God is not his own man. He belongs to the body of Christ. As a part of a whole, is not a whole in himself. Like the brother who said he is the church. He is not a whole in himself. He's only a part of a whole. Hallelujah. I met a brother who went around saying, I am Christ. He went around saying, I am Christ. And when you ask him to prove it, why is he saying that? He shows you where Christ is a many-membered body. And so he said he is Christ. Well, I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said to me, what part of your body speak? What part of your body speak? Do you know why your big toe couldn't get up and say, I am the seal? You know why your toe couldn't get up and say, I am the seal? Because it has no mouth. It couldn't talk. The only part that talks is the head. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is only the head that must talk in the church. There is no other voice. Hallelujah. And that is one of the reasons God said the women must keep silent. Because in this case he's talking about the woman, the church must keep silent before God. Amen. No usurping of authority. It must not be the church that is talking. It must be the Jesus that is talking.
Amen.
Amen. He said, if any man minister, let him minister as the oracles of God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his name. Hallelujah. And so we go back to the word of God here. We see that those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. We see Jesus saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, why must I be born again? And he said, if you are not born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom. And brethren, I want you to know that what Jesus was talking about is the same thing we talk about when we say the body of Christ. That you don't even discern the body of Jesus Christ unless you are born again. And so many people say they are born again and they don't discern the body of Jesus Christ. Because here we are going right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there in verses 29 and 30, Paul speaking about the communion, Paul speaking about the breaking of the bread, Paul speaking about the eating Christ, the partaking of the energy and the life that is in Christ. Where is Christ? Where is Christ tonight? Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Amen? Therefore, when Christ rises up in you and you give forth life and you give forth energy and I partake of it and my soul is blessed, who did I partake of? I surely didn't partake of Jones. I surely didn't partake of Brown. I partook of Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about, communion. This is what we're talking about, eating Christ. This is what we're talking about, the assembling of yourselves together. This is what we're talking about, life. Life, the blood of Jesus Christ coming from my soul to your soul. Hallelujah. Jesus said, for if ye eat me not, and if you drink not my blood, what? You have no life in you. How are you going to get life in you? By eating his body and drinking his blood, by eating the life from the body of Christ, and by drinking the blood from the body of Christ, the energy which God puts in you. This is the life we're talking about. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the word. Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom unless you are born again. And then we have this great paradox of many brethren being born again, accept Jesus as their Savior, and yet they fail to see Jesus as Lord. They fail to see the rest of their brethren. Hallelujah. Who are moving in the Spirit. Why? God gave me a simple answer. Lend me that box there, brother. God showed me this. He said, if you are on that side, it is impossible for you, Brother Anderson, to see this side. We on this side, we are looking at number one and number four. And it is impossible for you to see this side. Why? Because you are on that side. If you are in the flesh, you cannot see the Spirit. If you are in the Spirit, you cannot see the flesh. Amen. Bless his holy name. And so, this was a principle Jesus laid down to Nicodemus. But when we went down to verse 5, same chapter 3 and verse 5, and in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter." Come on now. Born of flesh, your sight is open. Born of spirit, you get the power to enter. Unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. You ask yourself the question, why is it so many people are outside of the body of Christ? They cannot see, they cannot understand, they do not operate in body life. They do not operate in body life. Last night I was telling the brethren, I say, you go to the store and you buy a steak. And that steak is yours. You paid for it. You paid the price that the grocer asked for it. It's your property. But that steak is not a part of you. But you get some fire and you put it on the fire. The fire breaks it down. And the fire brings it from just an ordinary steak to a meal now. And you eat the meal. And the meal goes down into your stomach and begin the process of becoming a part of you. Hallelujah. This is the way with us and Jesus Christ. Not only you having Jesus, but Jesus having you. Not only you having Spirit, but the Spirit having you. Amen. Not only you claiming to be of the body, but the body claiming to be part of you. And when is that going to happen? We turn our Bibles to John 14. When is that going to happen? And in verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode within him. That word is enters within him, inside of him. Hallelujah. When you obey the Lord and obey the Lord, and the Lord give you the Spirit and you obey the Spirit, and when you obey the Spirit, God delights in you. Not just love, not God agape you, because God agapes everybody. God loves everybody. So don't feel that God, you are God's little pet boy, and he loves you more than how he loves the other fellow off the street there. But this Bible is telling you that God is going to have a special favor towards you. God is going to delight in you. You are going to make God feel good in his heart. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it is all well and good for you to get up and give a testimony of God. But the greatest is when God gives a testimony of you. Amen. When God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when will God say so? When you obey the Spirit. Amen. When you obey the Spirit. Many of us as Christians, we have long ago lost our joy. We only settle down to the grim business of serving God, going to church, doing my duty, singing and praising and clapping. Amen. Sometimes in the service, then a little joy would come into you and you would bob a little when the others are bobbing. Amen. But your joy went long ago down the drain. You know why? You stopped pleasing God. Amen. Amen. For when you please God, the joy bells begin to ring in your soul. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When your ways please God, he says, even your enemies are at peace with you. The joy bell begins to ring in your soul. God says you must continuously sing spiritual songs and psalms and make melody in your heart. But most of us, after we go for a while, our faces drop and we just slog it out every day. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, God said when you obey him, he and the Father will come and make his abode within you. Amen. In John chapter 17, hallelujah, and in verse 5, John 17, and in verse 5, and Jesus said, I know, Father, glorify thou me with that same glory which we had from before the world was. Now come on. Jesus Christ is saying to Father, now Father, that same brightness, that same power, that same strength, that same glory, that light which you and I dwelt in from before the world was, from before we made humanity, from before I took flesh unto myself. Now give me that glory. Hallelujah. Then look across at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Come on, brethren, something's funny here. Jesus Christ is blessing you with his glory, with his power, with his might, that you and your brother might be one.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. Can you understand that? God is blessing you in order that you might become one with your brother. And some of us, the more blessing we get, the better we are. We say we are better than the other brother. I can't fellowship with him. I'm better than he is. Amen. But you can see that God's ways are different from our ways. God is blessing us that we might show forth God in the earth. Can you imagine that the men of the world have never seen God? Can you imagine that they have never really seen God? Can you imagine the sinner outside the ear has a very vague idea of Jesus? Can you imagine the idea of the church people out there of Jesus Christ? When you hear a man says that he doesn't believe in the fullness of the Spirit, when you hear a man says he doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, when you hear a man say he doesn't believe that a person can dance in the Spirit, do you realize how benighted he is, how dark he is, how little he knows of his God? the God who came down with his Shekinah glory upon the tabernacle, and the priest couldn't stand before him, and the priest fell down before God, hallelujah, in the glory of his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine how dark that man's mind is? He never saw God. He never heard of God. He had never known God. Amen. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for you to arise. Yes. The little song said, arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. Yes, the man out there, the world out there, is waiting for you to arise in God.
Amen.
My Jesus. I remember one of the greatest temptations that I've had in my life, one of the greatest struggles. In my sin, I used to love to fight. I used to be always fighting. Oh, it was such a pleasure for me to fight. But when Jesus saved me, I didn't want to fight, but the spirit of the fight was in me still. And I was afraid. I was afraid. So I fasted and prayed many days. I couldn't eat. I was distressed that somebody is going to come up against me and I'm going to lose my testimony. And as I dwelt in the shadow of that fear, one day I was sitting in the office writing, and I reprimanded a young man who wasn't doing his work properly. The man jumped up and slammed me a right uppercut. I jumped backwards out the chair, and he was at me with rights and lefts. And the devil came down on me. The devil said, now give him what he's looking for. And I said, oh God, but I'm going to lose my testimony. I said, oh God, there will be no more testimony to these people of Jesus and the life that Jesus gave. And as he backed me on, and I backed, I just prayed, oh God, help me. Because every nerve in me was ready to fight. And as I prayed, God help me, the boy stopped. He eased up. He felt he had done enough. And he eased up and went to his seat. And a flood of joy. First in my life, I've ever refused a fight. Much more a man to hit me, and he didn't get what he was looking for. Oh, the flood of joy just flooded over my soul. Hallelujah. And do you know, I went to my seat laughing, and those people thought I was the craziest thing they had ever seen. Because they saw that boy coming wide open, and they knew that I could have probably hurt him, but I would never be able to lift my head again, and the devil knew it. And blessed be to God Almighty, the boy came over to my seat. He stretched his hand out to me. He said, Seth, for the first in my life, I've met a Christian. He didn't think that he had beaten me up. He knew that he had thrown all his best punches on me, and I was praying. Amen. He knew, and he came to me, and he said, and I tell you, it was worthwhile. From that moment, God delivered me from that spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know, brethren, that that poor thing out there, that poor man out there who is trying to fight you or to tear you apart or to destroy your animals or to hurt you at your fence line or to do some other thing to you, yeah, that poor creature there is waiting to see Jesus. If you don't show him Jesus, he's doomed.
Amen.
He's doomed. You need to live a spirit life. For those who are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Finally, we look at Romans 8. We look at Romans 8. And in verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creatures, all created things are in pain, are suffering, are crying, are dying, waiting for you to show forth your sonship. Isn't that something? All created beings are waiting, are crying, are dying, and waiting for us to show forth the manifest, to bring forth the sons of God in the earth. Praise God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. What hope? What hope did God have when he put you in a prison? When God put you in a flesh prison, what hope did God have in you? God's hope is that you would rise up and break the prison bars. And not only set yourself free, but set creation free. That's God's hope. Hallelujah. That's God's hope. Let's continue here. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creature itself, do you realize that not a flower faded, not a plant died, not an animal suffered, no death, no pain, no suffering until you sin? And when we come back out of sin, out of the depths, out of the grave, we shall also be the deliverance of all those creatures out there. Flowers won't fade anymore. Trees won't die anymore. They will know that we have come forth in God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Amen. Who is going to redeem the body? That soul. That soul is going to redeem the body if that soul will live a spirit life. You see, the soul has the ability to live a carnal life or a spirit life. The carnal life, the spirit life is drawing him up to God. The carnal life is drawing him down to the earth. And that soul of yours has the privilege of living either a spiritual life or a carnal life. You are not just one piece of being. You see, somebody said, you're a Christian. I praise you, 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 I praise you
I praise you. Lord.